Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Continuing on with the Ten Commandments. And before I start on the second commandment, I really feel like I need to go over a couple things. I was talking to some people this week about this, and I felt this would be an appropriate time to visit on two words that our society has messed up. Young people, you need to know these. There is a difference between a rule and a law. Rules and laws. They're two different words, and they have led to misunderstanding because we've grouped them into the same thing. And there's a lot of people that you'll hear this teaching as I did for the first time and go, I never even thought about that before. Well, I hope that tonight when I share this, this may be some revelation knowledge, not just our young people, but to different people to understand that rules are different than laws. Rules are defined as a set of regulations, customs, or the customary course to set an established guide. To do anything that you're going to do collectively, you have to have rules. Imagine a ball game without rules. Even on the playground. Some of y'all go, we imagine that a lot. Well, on the playground, rules. And here's what frustrates young people very intensely is when they say, you can't do that. And they said, why not? Because there's a rule, you can't do that. And nobody told me. Trust me, that mindset never changes the older you're getting. Because there are a lot of things that you didn't know were a rule, and you'll find out because you all of a sudden got to walk in the consequence of it. I didn't know the speed limit was 35, officer, I promise. See, there's a lot of different things that are rules that when you break them, you're like, oh, man, I didn't know that. Just learning to play games. We play board games, different things at our house. And if you're ever playing a board game and you're not the one who read the rules, someone's just telling you what they are, and they skip one, and you start playing the game, and you get ready to make a move, and they're like, you can't do that. Well, why? Well, it's against the rules. Well, nobody told me. See, everybody's been there, and it starts at a very young, are y'all hearing me, with rules. Everybody gets this. Imagine doing anything in life without rules, operating a business, driving a car, going to school. You know, we don't want rules, but without the rule of driving on the right side of the road, we've got a real problem. You just take that one rule out and try to get home tonight. Most of y'all would want to stay right here. Now, I'm not getting out on the highway if we don't have the rule of who drives on the right side. All of life, we've had to have rules and regulations. And here's what you got to know about rules. They're man-made. Rules are man-made. Hide-and-go-seek, man-made rules. Kickball, all the way to professional sports. When we were young, we would make bases be trees. You ever tried to slide into second base and that's a tree? I've done it. Over time, rules change. Okay, this isn't second base anymore. We have a paper plate out here. And that's now second base. In volleyball, when I was in school, there was no rally scoring. How many of y'all remember that? I mean, anybody, they didn't have rally scoring. What that means is that you could serve and get the point and then... Or if you weren't the serving team, you still got to. That didn't happen. You had to serve to score. There was a time when in girls basketball years ago, I was talking to some older people on this, that 3-on-3 was what the team was with girls, and they only played at half court. Rules change. And sometimes it's for good. It's for a good thing. See, they change to make it better. And rules need to change over time. You know, with technology, we've got to change rules. There's got to be rule changes with technology. I am a drone owner. We have any drone owners here? We got one that I know of. Now, here's what I had to find out the rules of a drone. You have to have a number from the government in case it crashes on somebody else's property. So you're covered. And so you get this number and you register it, and then you put it inside of your drone somewhere, and you can fly it. Here's the thing. You can only fly it to 400 feet. And you might say, why? Here's why. There's a rule. It's not that the drone won't go higher than 400, but at 400, if you go over that, you're breaking the rule. And you're in an area that can get you in a lot of trouble if you're over 400 feet. If you're within 5 miles of an airport and you fly that drone, you're in a lot of trouble. There was a helicopter went by my house just the other day, and I thought, I'm lower than 400 foot. It looks lower than 400 feet. I'm going to chase it. Because I was flying it when it came by, and I'm like, I take off after it. It was a lot faster than my drone. But can you imagine if I'd have been above 400 foot? And when I thought it was below 400, when I went up, I realized it was actually over the 400, because all planes and aircraft fly over 400 feet. Because when they get lower than that, they are in violation of something with the aircraft stuff. I don't understand all that. So they can't go below that. But they can, they just don't, because there's a rule. See, you can do that, but there's a rule that says if you do that, you can get in trouble. There's probably a rule against chasing a helicopter. But I didn't know about it, and if they said something to me, I'd say, I didn't know. Somebody should have told me. I didn't find it anywhere on the site. And so as I'm looking and finding out all these rules about how to fly, here's the other thing. I was telling Seth Hathaway, I can fly all the way over to your house and fly right over your house. And he goes, if you do, I'll shoot it. That's what Seth told me. I said, yeah, I understand, because somebody flies over my house, I'm going to shoot it too. But a shotgun won't go 400 foot in the air. So I just stay up a little higher. But you can have a lot of fun with this thing, but see, you got to know the rules. You got to know what the rules are, because if you break the rules, there can be some issues you have to deal with. Here's what you got to know. Rules can be broken, and if you break them and don't get caught, you get away with it. See, if you hit the net in volleyball and you don't get caught, there's no whistle, there's no anything. Sometimes there's a quick yanking back of the hands, and sometimes the other coach is like yelling at the, hey, did you see her? Watch her. What? I didn't see anything. And they're like, I didn't do anything. And everybody knows they did. See, but if you don't get caught and you break a rule, then you won't be frustrated. You won't lose a point. You won't anything. If you go over the speed limit and you don't get caught, there's no consequence. If you run a light and you don't get caught, there's no consequence. The thing is, if you do get caught, there's a consequence, right? Yeah. So there's got to be a moral standing that makes us want to follow the rules. We want to follow the rules, and so we want to follow the rules. But however, here's what you got to know. There's no price to pay for breaking a rule if you don't get caught. And enough people don't like the rules, and the group says, I don't like this rule, I don't like this rule, they can get together. And you know what they can do? They can change the rules. That's what they did in volleyball. That's what they did in girls' basketball. That's what they're trying to do right now as technology is advancing with drones. Because nobody owns the airspace from above the tree line to 400 feet. Nobody owns that. They've never had to worry about it before because Ashley didn't have a drone. And neither did Josiah or anybody else. Nobody had a drone, so drones weren't invented yet, so they never thought about somebody being able to fly above the tree line up to where the planes are, because that was never an issue. Now, anybody can go get that and fly right in that airspace, and so there's court case after court case about who owns that area above the tree line to 400 feet. Do you see where changing the rules might be a good idea here? Seth don't want me flying right over his tree line. And I ought to know better than to do that. But see, some people don't, so you have to make rules. You have to make rules. Everybody gets this. I have been frustrated with rule changes. They're on 14 Highway if you're going to Nixa. Before you get to 14 and you're on M Highway if you're coming from Jamesville. You're coming up the Nixa High School's right there. Do you know that speed limit right there? The whole time that I was raising my kids when they were younger and I would work in Springfield, it was 55 miles an hour through there. You know how frustrating it was when it turned to 45? And then when they put this flashing light out and you got to slow down, it added 5 to 10 minutes on your trip to Springfield now. Good grief, what in the world did you have to do that? Just because a bunch of kids had to go to school? Somebody thought it was a good idea, so they changed the rules. Here's the thing we get messed up on. We have started in our society, we have changed the term and the definition of rules to law. The law is you can't drive over speed limit of 55 mile an hour when it's posted 55. That's the law. Here's what I want you to understand. By definition, that's not the law, that's the rule. That's a rule. That's not a law. That's a rule. Now, I understand we've started calling them laws, and this is where we get into trouble. A law is a sequence of natural events occurring with unvarying uniformity. It's a general principle, or it's a mosaic code or part of the Bible that contains it. That's what a law is. That's what a law is. In our world today, man makes and defines and even changes rules all the time. But here's what you've got to know. Laws cannot be changed. You say, well, Ashley, I don't understand that. A law describes for us what is a reality. Are y'all with me? A law defines what is a reality. Church, God did not make rules. Nowhere in Scripture did he make rules. God made laws. He made laws. Before man defined shoot the ball and we'll give you points for doing that, then you just shoot the ball and there was no points awarded. I mean, really, it was man who said, we're going to give you 2 points. It was man who said, outside of this line, we'll give you 3 points. It was man who said, at the free throw line, you shoot it and you get one. See, man defined that. You won't find that in Scripture. And if it's violated, you won't find the consequence. Before the sign went up as to the speed limit, there were not consequences adhering to the speed limit. In 1687, which is a little bit before most of our times, I think all of our times, Isaac Newton published what is considered the most influential book in the history of science, Philosophia Naturalis Principia Mathematica. Now, that's a hillbilly's way of saying that because it's supposedly said a lot more grammatically eloquent, and I can't do that. It describes in this book gravity and the three laws of motion. And I want you to understand that I said it describes. It does not define. It doesn't say, okay, here's what I'm going to set as a definition, and I'm going to make this the case. Isaac Newton did not give us the law of gravity. Right. See, he didn't give that to us. He didn't get a little council together and say, let's all vote on this and decide what the law of gravity is going to be defined as. He defined the law of gravity. He wrote it down and said, this is what the law of gravity is. He defined it in sense definition, but he didn't come up with it. It was already there. It was already a law. It was already in. If you had broke it before he defined it, you still paid the result. You jump off a roof before he said the law of gravity is this, this, and this, you still fell and hurt yourself. See, it was still there. Before rules were set up, you could break the rule and there was no consequences. I'm spending a lot of time on this because I want to make sure you see the difference. Since that rule had not been set up, you could never break it. It had to be defined as, okay, this is a rule, and now when you break it, there's going to be a consequence if you get caught. There are consequences to breaking a law, whether it has been defined and whether you get caught or not. Rules can be changed by man since they were made by man and they were defined by man. Hear this, church, very important. Laws cannot be changed. You break laws, you suffer the consequences. Well, Ashley, why are you talking about this? Because Moses didn't give us 10 rules. See, he didn't say, here's 10 rules for y'all, and if you get caught, you're in trouble. Whether you agree with them or not, there are penalties if you choose not to obey them. And that's what our country is not seeing. We are politically trying to change God's laws based on how we change man's rules. And you can't change God's laws. Right. See, you just can't do it. They're not the same thing. You can break a rule, and if you're not caught, you're okay. You break a law, regardless if you're caught or not, you're not okay. See, that's the difference. We have a political system that's trying to instate what they call laws, and they're actually rules. But what they're doing now is they're trying to take God's laws and just make them rules, and it'll never work. You can't take God's laws and make them rules. They're still a law, and a law is there before you defined it, before the committee got together, before Congress voted on it. It was still a law regardless, and adultery will always be adultery. Stealing will always be stealing regardless of what they say is a rule. It's God's law. So Exodus 20, no other gods before me. Exodus 20 verse 4, don't worship idols. We're going to take off right there from where last week we did no other gods before me. If you weren't here last week, you can pick that up. But let's do number two tonight. The second commandment tells us how to worship the true God. What pitfalls to avoid in our worship, the continuing blessing or penalty that comes to us as a result in which we worship Almighty God. It's very, very important that we understand God's law is not to worship idols. This is just Ashley. I've never understood how someone could make something that deserved worship. I mean, really, how could man make something that deserved to be worshiped? I've just always been in a situation where I needed a God that created me, not one I created. See, I needed a God who created me. I didn't need a God that I created. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing man create a God to fit what they want. That's not Jehovah God. And he created us, therefore he should be worshiped. And we don't get that. I've just never, ever been able to benefit from something that was not smarter than I was. And a little stick carved out is not smarter than me. We don't have any golden statues in our house. We don't have any in our church. But the question is, do we have them in our carports? Do we have them in our garages? Do we have them in our checkbooks? Do we have them in our power and prestige? Do we have them in our influence? Do we have little golden statues in our hobbies? Nothing we worship is above God. Many overlook this and say, well, I don't ever put anything above God. An idol is anything worshiped. An idol is anything that is worshiped above the Creator. That's what an idol is. So idols can be a car, a house, can be money. You know, a child can be an idol to its mom. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Or to a dad. A child can be an idol. See, you miss that God made the child. You miss that you're worshiping God above the child. And you start looking at the child for all of your attention and all your praise and everything. Power, prestige, and a title, a position can become an idol. Earth, stars, moon can become an idol. Anything worshiped above God. Are you see, we got to get this. It's very important. Now, this is a law that God created. Every nation that has or has had idol worship, you can see the effects of it in their laws, in their moral and ethical standing, and in their rules. So, I ask you for the second point, the second commandment. Where did God rank in your week of attention? I mean, just since Sunday, I understand we were here on Sunday, but Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, where did God rank? Where was God at? Are you putting him in the position of worship, or is your work, is your spouse, is your kids, is your hobby? What is in first place? See, idol's not just about a little Buddha in the corner. I mean, I get a kick every time we go to the Japanese restaurants. They got a little gold Buddha. And for those of you that know the story, because I'm going to say it till I'm gone, is the little Christmas emblem that it says, Christmas donations taken, and you throw your money on top of a golden statue of Buddha. Diamond Head Restaurant in Republic. You can go check them out. Great, wonderful people. I like them. They're nice. And I'm going to see them in church one day. I love that they're just the symbolism of that. Let's honor Christ with money while we throw money on Buddha's head. Exodus 20, verse 7. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Let me say it like this. Don't misuse the name of God. We understand that we're not to use the Lord's name in vain. I mean, how many, as kids, know parents that would wash their child's mouth out with soap? My mom is here, and I can't lie, I've been there. And it wasn't just God's name. I'd say any name that I wasn't supposed to say. I'd say a word that just kind of sounded like something I wasn't supposed to say. And go get the soap. Oh, are you kidding me? I had the cleanest mouth, I'm telling you, in most of the county. But what we understand is we understand from a very young age, especially if you've been raised in a Christian home, that you're not to use the Lord's name in vain. You only say God's name with respect and with honor. And I think a lot of times we misuse the Lord's name. I mean, I don't get mad about this because I understand people's heart. But words like the man upstairs, he's Jehovah God. He deserves our honor. Big Daddy, he's bigger than the big you're talking about. He's worthy of honor and praise. And I just, Big Daddy doesn't sound like something I'd be honoring him and praising. See, there's got to be an element of understanding that we need to respect Father God. Don't use his name in vain. And so we get a hold of that. But you know, you can take God's name in vain when you confess to be a Christian and then you just go do your work half-heartedly. A lot of people never even think about that. You turn in 8 hours and you only work 7.5. Whew! And everybody here knows somebody, if not us, that have done that. How's that taking the Lord's name in vain? You said you were a Christian, and everybody there knows it, and then you didn't honor his name. Took it in vain. You can have a WWJD bracelet and wear it, but not follow him in your actions. See, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. Taking the name of a Christian and clearly living in opposition to his name. That's taking his name in vain. Be careful about taking his name. I mean, you did it when you got saved. You took on his name. You said, I am now a Christian. I am someone who looks like Christ. And then you go out and don't look like Christ. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Here's what you got to understand. You didn't just break a rule when you did it. You're breaking God's law and there'll be a consequence. So bring honor to the commitment that you made. The fourth one tonight, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You work 6 days and you remember the Sabbath. You know, old covenant, because I get into discussions about this every once in a while, because here's the thing, I'm usually not arguing with somebody. Somebody's usually arguing with somebody at work and they want the pastor's perspective. And so I'll give them my perspective. The old covenant, the Sabbath was the last day of the week. In the new covenant, the Sabbath is now the first day of the week. The resurrection of Jesus, we changed that. Christ changed that the first day of the week and said, here's the first day. Many businesses for years have closed on Sunday. Did you know that? Young people, you probably didn't have any idea. The only reason that businesses close on Sunday anywhere in the world is because of the fourth commandment. That's the only reason that anybody would ever close on Sunday. It's clearly about remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. You know, our government still to this day remains closed on Sunday. Well, we're no longer a Christian nation. Then why don't you go to work on Sunday? Because of the fourth commandment. You can take them out of the courthouses. My question is, if you're taking the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, y'all need to open up for business on Sunday. Because the only reason you're off Sunday is because of the document that you're trying to get out of your... That's the only reason you're off on Sunday. Our government stays closed on Sunday, and they haven't even wavered on that. I've heard said, I worked 45 hours last week, and act like you really did something. Let me just tell you all something that I think would be a really good point to get into our young people. The Bible says nowhere described that we should only have a 5-day work week. Nowhere in Scripture. Work 6 days, and then you keep the seventh day holy. You know, our young people, and many here, don't ever have never even heard of or know what a blue law is. Anybody here know what a blue law is? All right, good. We got plenty here that do. The blue law was a law that was limited, would limit what businesses could open on Sunday and what stores could open and what items in that store could be sold. I did some investigation, and I wrote 2 pages about this, and I thought, this will bore everybody to tears. I was real interested in it, so I'm not going to tell you all about it, but just Google blue laws. It's really interesting what's still out there. You know, there are businesses that couldn't open till 1:30 on Sunday. Why in the world would they do that? Fourth commandment. Fourth commandment. You know, when I was growing up in the 1980s in Howe County, which is around West Plains, Missouri, we lived down there, and I remember in high school them being there was a big to-do about the blue laws, and they were fighting them. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. And there's a certain group of Christians that were like, oh, well, let's not get rid of the blue laws. Let's keep. And so you couldn't buy alcohol till a certain time on Sunday. And then there were some counties that you couldn't even buy at any time on Sunday. From 1 o'clock in the morning, Saturday night or Sunday morning, until 6 a.m. on Monday, you couldn't buy alcohol. You know how many counties are still like that? I think there's 73 counties still in Arkansas that are like that. There's a few counties in Arkansas that are still dry. Just this last year, Harrison was fighting a big deal about it. There's lawsuits all the time across the United States that are fighting the blue laws still. Let me just say this. Because the blue laws were set up so that people would go to church on Sunday and honor God. Most blue laws now are just fighting whether or not they can have liquor sales on Sunday. That's what most of them are about. So we've turned this around, not to honor God, just not to sell liquor on Sunday. But all of it started based on the fourth commandment. And there was a day, church, not very long ago, where we took a day off from our job, off from our money, off from our working, off from anything that was taking our eyes off God. And I want to encourage you tonight to let's not, as Christian people, get our eyes off of God on Sunday. Amen. It's really, really important that we honor Him. See, you can't break the commandments of God and not have repercussions in your life. We have stress at an all-time high. We have nervous breakdowns. And here's one of the things that I find very interesting. The first blue law that started getting attacked, and I'm going to share this. I don't even have it written down. I'm just going to talk to you about it. 1961. That was the first blue law that one of the states, I don't remember which one, that they came in and started attacking what was going on businesses having to shut down on Sundays. They didn't even used to have rules for this. They didn't even have rules because nobody would do that. They knew that the Christians wouldn't support them, and there were so many Christians, then there wouldn't make any money on Sundays. So it didn't even have to be a rule, but they set up the rules, and then in 1961, so many states had then made blue laws where they couldn't work that they started attacking these laws, and they attacked the blue laws. Well, in 1961 is when they started. I find something very interesting in this because also in 1961 is the first time that you'll see a bunch of indications, but from 61 to 65, the indications of stress-related illnesses started going zoom. 61 to 65. We started having breakdowns, meltdowns. People couldn't handle it. I don't know what I'm going to do. Nervous breakdowns. That term was not used in the English language till 1965. Nervous breakdown. I mean, it wasn't a technical term that you would find defined. And I just thought that was amazing because all of a sudden we start attacking Sundays like we shouldn't honor God anymore. It's not that big a deal, and the Christians ought to do whatever they want. But when you never get away from your work, you never forget about everything else and just put your eyes on God, you can count on a nervous breakdown. See, you start breaking God's laws and you start breaking yourself. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Keep the Sabbath day holy. The first 4 commandments are about our relationship with God. The last 6 are about our duties and our responsibilities to each other. So I want to go over the last 6 of these next week and finish this out. I'm not going to go over one tonight. I got 3 more. We went 1 last week, 3 more tonight, and I'm going to get 6 next week. So we'll get this all covered. But y'all get anything out of the Ten Commandments? I think it's real important to know the difference between laws and rules. It'll give you a new perspective when you're driving down the highway. Don't take my sermon and drive 70 and say, I'm not going to get caught, and there ain't no consequence if I don't get caught. We have rules, and we follow them out of the obedience and out of the want to of our hearts. But God's laws, when you disobey them, you're going to be in trouble.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.